I don't want to be bothered with anything if I can't be good in it. I don't want to waste my time, you know. So I worked at being really, really good. And I also think that I was coming in at the time when it was mostly men working. And being a female, my hands were smaller. I could handle more delicate work, and it helped me to excel. It helped me to get a name out there as a dental technologist.
Hello and welcome to the Lori's Hands Community Voices series. I'm your host, Jennifer McCord. This season, we're hearing from clients of Lori's Hands' newest chapter in Baltimore, Maryland. Each week, we hear from a different client about their life, their stories, and their community. This week, you'll meet Antoinette Suarez. I interviewed Antoinette with the help of Elizabeth Rockebrand, a student at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, or UMBC. Here's Elizabeth.
Speaking with Antoinette, I think she sounded very confident. She didn't seem to shy away from opportunities. It didn't seem like she took her life for granted. Like, every moment she seemed to speak so warmly of, and that she had really cherished it. And it might be her age, but it might just be her. She might just be someone who's always cherished, I think, her life in ways that I don't think a lot of people do.
Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Antoinette Cecilia Suarez. I am 80 years old, and I've never been to stay in the house and sit still person. I have been volunteering since 2002 when I retired with the three groups that worked with women. I come from a very large family on the east side of Baltimore. I'm the oldest of eight. I had 9 aunts and uncles from my father's side. I had 12 aunts and uncles from my mother's side. It's a family that was one of the large families that almost everybody knew. My mother always was home. My father worked. I went to Catholic school. The nuns, you know, they weren't going to let us just skip by. My mother kept such an eye on us that she allowed the children to come in our house, in our basement, and she knew where we were. But we had an awful lot of fun in here. See, I live in, I don't know if you've seen this in your native city, row houses. We live close together. But even though we lived close together, we enjoyed each other.
Another thing Antoinette enjoyed from a young age was athletics.
I always participated in sports. I played softball when it was softball season. I played basketball when it was basketball season. I played volleyball when it was volleyball season. And then when I didn't have anything else to do, I would swim. And I would say that I guess I'm kind of competitive. It was the same thing in school. I wanted to get good grades. Even when I didn't get them, I still strived for it. I want to be good at whatever I'm doing, or it seems like a waste of time.
After she graduated from high school, one of the jobs where Antoinette got to show how good she was in the military.
I went in the Army in 1968, 10 years after I graduated high school. I always wanted to go in the military, and I really thought I would travel and just get some different experiences in life. And that's what was my motivation. But I just didn't want to go through what you had to go through, a female going in the military. So I didn't do it. 10 years after graduating high school, I did go. 10 years, I just felt like, I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to concern myself with anyone else's feelings. So I just went in, and I was already, my mother was like a sergeant. She had to be with eight of us. She had to be. I knew how to make a bed. I knew if I didn't make it right, the mattress would be pulled off. I already knew how to wear a uniform because I wore it all of my life during school. I knew how to take that discipline because of the nuns. So I was, the military, I was ready for them. But the most of it was, at that time, I'm going to tell you, segregation was so high that it wasn't easy for any choice that we made.
But even in a system that was designed to work against her, Antoinette excelled.
By the time I was maybe a year and a half in the military, I had made 5 promotions. I earned 1 promotion out of basic training. I earned 1 promotion out of advanced training. And I earned another promotion when I went to Aberdeen. And then on the 4th one, that's when you have to go before the board. And I kind of asked for that one. I became an E4. And then not long after that, I became an E5. And even as an E4, I was in charge of an E5 barracks. And I was a dental assistant. They trained me as a dental assistant in the service. And when I was finished with my term, I just didn't want to be an assistant anymore. I wanted to be a dental technician. So I decided I was getting out of the military and going on to school.
So Antoinette enrolled in a dental technology program.
And part of our program, we were sent to the school to work with the dentists to do their lab work. And it was training for us, but at the same time, it helped them.
The lab work that Antoinette got experience with was making the physical objects that dentists would prescribe.
Like dentures and partials and crowns and bridges. I called myself the creator of smiles because people with no teeth don't smile. They smile, but they cover themselves up. But as soon as you put those dentures in their mouths, I mean the biggest smile, grin, whatever you want to describe it as. Okay, let me see if I can make you feel some of the joy. I had a patient who had that, he had cancer, and he had to have a tracheotomy done. So whenever they talked, they had to cover that hole up that's in the front of their throat, right? Well, I put a piece of wire on the end of his tray, and I asked the doctor to, while he's taking the impression of his gums, take the impression of that hole in the back. And he did. And I built a piece in the back of his denture that permanently covered that hole when his denture was in his mouth. And so he never had to cover that hole again. He talked like you and I. If you can just imagine, I'm going to tell you, his reaction was over and above anything because he didn't realize that just saying thank you one time was enough. So I called myself the creator of smiles. I don't want to be bothered with anything if I can't be good in it. I don't want to waste my time, you know. So I worked at being really, really good. And I also think that I was coming in at the time when it was mostly men working. And being a female, my hands were smaller. I could handle more delicate work, and it helped me to excel. It helped me to get a name out there as a dental technologist.
Antoinette retired from her work as a dental tech in 2002, but she wasn't ready to slow down. She jumped into volunteer work and also made time for her true passion, softball.
I played softball with seniors. I started with that organization. They were called the Golden Girls of Vienna, Virginia.
The Golden Girls were competitive.
But so were the teams that from the warm weather states, because they could play all year. So we traveled to Florida, Myrtle Beach, places like that, and do tournaments. I was able to go a couple of times to Hawaii, even.
And Antoinette's speed and drive made her a valuable player on the team.
In the senior softball games, if a player got on and maybe her legs were not that good, I could run for her, but only one per inning.
Sadly, in 2017, a health scare changed things.
And we were in Tampa, Florida. I had just run the bases, and in the dugout, I could not get my breath. I just could not get it. And I ended up in the hospital there in Tampa. And when I came home, I went to my cardiologist and I talked with my cardiologist. While talking with her, I got out of breath. She called Lifeline. I ended up in Johns Hopkins. Came home, discharged from that visit. I went to talk with my primary care doctor. And on the way home, my heart felt like it was coming out of my system.
Rosetta was rushed to the hospital, where a medical team had to use a defibrillator to restart her heart. On doctor's orders, she gave up softball after that. But that hasn't stopped the Golden Girls from trying to recruit her back.
They're still trying to get me to come and coach, but I'm not a coach. It would be too tempting for me to jump in and, yes, and do something. So I'm just not going to tax my heart like that anymore. I'm just so blessed. I just am thankful that I was able to play as long as I did. I just cannot accept anything negative about it because it brought me so much joy.
Even without softball in her life, Antoinette still applies her sense of discipline and excellence to her mindset.
We have an awful lot of control over what happens to us than we want to realize. I remember when I was working and I did slick leave. You know what slick leave is, don't you? Well, when you're on a job and you can take leave, you accumulate time. So I had an awful lot of sick leave because I hardly ever got sick. I call it slick leave because you pretend you're sick so you can get out of work. Well, well, anyway, shoot, I had my work done. I just wanted to come home, so I had some slick leave. And on the way home, I was still pretending I was sick. I was just acting like this. I was just acting slow. And I said to myself, you little damn fool, you're out here on slick leave. Ain't nothing wrong with you. But I just realized that we can actually have more control over how our system works, what it returns back to us. It gives us whatever we shape it.
Antoinette brings this sense of agency to her community, too.
My neighborhood right now, I have gotten the young men to not throw their trash. I have gotten them to come, if they want to hang around in the neighborhood, they had to keep it clean. So there's some of them who will come to me and ask me for the broom and shovel. because they know I'm going to get after them. Some of the young men, I saw them grow up, and I used to treat them with certain things, and so I could talk with them. Some of them knew me, and they still call me by my name. And just like they're special to me, I want to be special to them. And I tell them how I feel. But I also tell them I love them. And I do want to thank all of you who check on us, who talk to us, who try to help us know who we are. And I thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Lori's Hands Community Voices. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Rockebrand, Yoni Isaacs, and me, Jennifer McCord. Special thanks again to Antoinette Soares for sharing her time and stories with us. You can find out more about Lori's Hands at lorishands.org or on social media. And we invite you to tune in again next week to our final episode of the season to meet Marguerite Woods.
When I think about myself these days, I think of the fact that I'm Black, I am bald, I am blind, I'm beautiful, and I'm bold.
Until next time, take care of each other.